Hello and welcome to another Investec Focus Radio podcast brought to you by Investec Cash Investments. This is the first episode in our savings series following recent insights from the Investec Gibbs Savings Index. Join us today as we hear from René Grobler, Head of Investec Cash Investments, and Dr. Adrian Saville, Professor in Economics at the Gordon Institute of Business Science. Today, I'm privileged to be joined by Dr. Adrian Saville as we begin our series on the importance of savings and where our country is from a saving point of view. We're hoping that by the end of this monthly series, you'll know what it means to save for South Africa as we share with you some positivity and inspire empowering action to assist in saving for life's best moments. Why is saving such an important topic for South Africa?
A country needs to save its way to prosperity. And that isn't sort of being as miserly as the statement suggests, instead of being, you know, held back and squirreled away. So in any individual, whether that's a person, a business, in that individual act of saving, that becomes the reservoir of investment, which in turn becomes an economic engine of new factories, new homes, new highways, new harbors, new jobs. And you get onto a flywheel that becomes self-fueling and self-feeding.
That makes quite a bit of sense on a personal level if you think about investing in your children's future, as an example. Saving, putting away money, making sure you can give them a good education, which in the long term will give them the ability to earn and generate income. Can you maybe just explain how that works in a country? What is this link between saving, investment, and growth?
The simple economic reality is this. If an entity, if a country wants to invest, someone has to fund that investment. Now, who's that someone? And that someone is a person who has saved, a person who has got some surplus and that they will reinvest into new ventures. Or if it's a household, if it's you and me, and we earn an income and we keep some of that income back, that becomes our household saving. So those are the two main sources of saving, households and businesses. Put them all together and you've got the country's savings pool. And it's that savings pool that in turn funds that country's business ambition.
And then if we think about South Africa and the growth objectives that we have from an economic point of view, I think we're targeting growth levels of around 5.4%, 5.5%. Are our savings levels currently sufficient to fund that kind of growth through investment?
There's an angle that we need to put into that question, and that is, if savings feeds investment, what does investment mean for growth? In the work that we've been doing on this 60-year data set for 160 countries is that principle one is that saving feeds investment. Principle two is that in turn, investment is one of the most powerful contributors to sustained and elevated economic growth. If a country wants high, sustained, inclusive growth, there is really one critical ingredient, and that's elevated investment. So you can, you know, reverse engineer it then. If you want high growth, you need high investment. If you want high investment, you need high saving. And those are your steps to getting savings to fuel growth and jobs. For South Africa to achieve 5.4% economic growth, which is what the NDP has as our official policy position, we need a savings and investment rate of about 30%. Instead, our savings and investment rate sits at roughly half that, 15 or 16%. So as things stand, South Africa is a long way from that elevated growth position.
I think one of the reasons we created the savings index was when we speak about individual savings and we tend to preach to each other that we need to save more and spend less. And one of the things we wanted to really highlight from the savings index was around the real facts and figures around savings. So we did quite a bit of research through Gibbs on the topic. So for the man on the street, you know, if you had to understand the number that we publish, what is the savings index?
What we set out to measure were sort of the things that describe savings behavior and savings results. The thing that describes behavior is the environment. The environment captures things like employment rates, salary increases, dependency ratios, what's the society's obligation or requirement to look after old age people or children who are both withdrawers from the savings pool rather than contributors, old age people and children. So the environment was the first thing that we set out to measure. And then from that, we could make comment on the flow of savings, so the amount of saving coming into that saving pool. And ultimately, then, what does the pool look like, which is the stock of saving.
And if we say 100 is a pass mark, not a perfect score, it's a pass mark, what does that mean and how are we tracking against that?
So the 100 would give us the pass mark in that it would get us into the category of what we've described in our work as the economic miracles, countries that transition, transform, countries that everyone else writes about in good ways. So that's what an index of 100 would represent. And from the most recent index print, the 2018 result, we have a score of 60, which puts us in a slightly better than the 50 we were referencing earlier. But it also shows that we have some way to go in terms of getting into that miracle category. And it's all three elements that are holding us back: environment, stock, and flow. Each of them is holding us back. It's not that it's just one aspect. In other words, South Africa has savings work to do.
What is your comment around government and individuals?
In South Africa, it's unlikely that government becomes a saver anytime soon. We have a developmental state. We're running government budget deficits, which means year to year, government is dissaving as it spends on necessary infrastructure institutions. That really leaves two places South Africa can go to fix the savings or to fill the savings investment gap: the foreign sector, the household sector. And without question, the household sector with a saving rate of 0%, if you compare this to other countries that have got on to the status of miracle transformers, their household savings rates are always northwards of 15-20%. So South Africa has to change household behavior. In short, it's up to you and me as household members to get out of our collective behavior of 0% saving and into the 15-20% savings behavior. In other words, the real solution to South Africa's savings deficit is microeconomic rather than macroeconomic. And what I mean by microeconomic is it's at the level of the individual, the household.
And just to come back to the individual, so if we're saying really the individual component of the country is not contributing at all to savings, that seems like a big opportunity to shift. In your research, did you find other low-income countries that, you know, found a way to circumvent that?
There is no country that is born rich. Every country starts on a low base. And if we go to those low base countries, those countries that have low per person incomes, they don't really have global stature or competitiveness in the international landscape. We can ask, well, where are you starting? And what are you able to achieve off that very low base? And very often, to people's amazement, you find countries that start on income per person, of $1,000 per person, achieving savings rates of 30 and 40%. Now, you know, when you put that up against South Africa's household saving rate of 0%, you know, that begs a question. How come with a per person income in South Africa of $10,000 when we adjust for purchasing power parity, we save zero, yet someone with a fraction of that income can save 30 or 40%. What's the difference? And we need to be careful here in acknowledging social and economic realities. Deeply skewed income inequality is a massive challenge for South Africa. 27% unemployment rate, especially youth unemployment, which sits at 55%. Now, if you're unemployed and you're not earning income, you can't save, full stop. So for South Africa to sort of start getting into this corrected behavior, improved behavior of functional savings, funding, investment, we have to initially square up to these deep social illnesses, inequality and unemployment. Even then, if we solve for inequality and unemployment, what it still doesn't explain is why those who are employed have a household saving rate of zero. You know, maybe we can just play with a individual example here, you or me. that if we were to learn this afternoon that our incomes had been halved, would we sustain our current spending level? And I would guess that the answer is no. When we go to South Korea, Singapore, Chile in the 1960s and 70s, where they've got these very, very low incomes, they are able to establish elevated household savings rates.
Fantastic. So it seems like there is hope for South Africa. There's no silver bullet, but savings would be a good place to start.
Absolutely. You know, if you go to country examples, I think that's a great place that we can go and find evidence of how do we get from what seems like an impossible number into a functional and possible creative habit. And I'll borrow from the experience of Chile in two ways. The first was they made saving for retirement compulsory in the 1980s. You didn't have an option. You had to contribute to the National Pension Fund. The first ingredient is time, and the second ingredient is compounding. So, you know, in that country example, they said, you don't have a choice. You will have a pension fund, and you're going to have it for how long? Forever, until you move into retirement. So, you know, there is a, you know, that requires a regulatory change.
Yes.
And a change in industry behavior. But, you know, perhaps it gives some perspective on what's possible.
Are there other things that we can do, maybe through the research in other countries, that are more social in nature, or do we have to rely on policy and government?
There is not a single case where there hasn't been collaboration, cooperation, coordination between public and private. It's not one or the other. It's both. But you're absolutely right that there might be roles that the government can play or the regulators can play, policymakers can play, and there are certainly roles that the private sector can play. One of my favorite examples from the research that we've done is on gamification, where, you know, saving can be gamified, that suddenly this very dull thing called saving actually becomes quite sexy. It's not about advertising the rand amounts that I save, but rather that I've saved 4 weeks in a row. And so I get a social media diamond. And that type of profiling and gamification has, based on the experiences in countries around the world, another way in which I think private sector providers can change or shape behavior through gamification is by turning a number into a thing. And saving, what we know from the research and experience is that if people are told that they must save, you know, 1,000, then they know, you know, at 100 they've saved a little bit. When they've saved 500, they've got halfway there. That by making it tangible, visible, real, gets beyond the numbers and into sort of being able to see what we're saving for.
So it now makes sense why in South Africa we have a whole month dedicated to a savings conversation, which is July, Savings Month. If we think about getting that 0% up in terms of household savings, what can you and I do? What can the average South African do to get that savings level up?
It's the habit. So what we know from this research that we've published is that saving is a learned behavior. It's a habit. And the only way that you can get into a habit is to start a habit. And so if you aren't in the habit of saving, July is your chance to start the habit. 10 Rand and you're a saver.
This podcast was brought to you by Investec Cash Investments. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again next time on Investec Focused Radio. Be sure to comment, rate, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.